Welcome to Iron Sharpens Iron, the only daily live broadcast in the New York metropolitan and greater Long Island area, on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians have a platform to address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27:17 tells us, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Afternoon, Long Island, New York, Connecticut, and those listening internationally over the internet. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron. Do you know anybody? Do you know anybody involved in the Church of Scientology, or perhaps they're just interested in it or dabbling in it? Well, today we're going to be interviewing Karen Presley, a convert from the Church of Scientology to Biblical Christianity and founder of Wings of Love Ministries. We're going to be discussing her personal testimony recorded in her book, Escaping Scientology, An Insider's True Story. Want to pick up the phone and call your family, friends, and loved ones during a station break, especially if they are in the Church of Scientology or dabbling with it or considering it. They can tune into the program, obviously, at 1440 AM on the dial if they live on Long Island, the Bronx, Yonkers, the Jersey Shore, or the coast of Connecticut. But they can hear this program anywhere on the planet Earth via live streaming at www.wnygspiritofny.com. That's wnygspiritofny.com. They can also hear this program live streamed at sharpens.org, the website for Iron Sharpens Iron. Sharpens.org, sharpens.org. Not only can you hear this interview live streamed at sharpens.org, but there are also previously aired programs that are archived at sharpens.org on free downloadable MP3. In fact, today's interview will be archived there as well afterward and should be a valuable resource for you, so you can email the link to your family, friends, and loved ones. But I really urge you to call anybody you know right now and have them tune into the program with Karen Presley, a former Scientologist who converted to Christianity. 631-321-WNYG is our number. 631-321-WNYG is our phone number. We look forward to hearing from you and your questions for Karen Presley.
Hi, my name is Kristen Buttafuoco. My father is Dan Buttafuoco of Buttafuoco & Associates, the personal injury lawyers. I've seen firsthand the time, love, and dedication that my dad puts into each and every case. His firm is dedicated to helping victims of accident and medical malpractice. It was his passion for his clients that inspired me to pursue a law career of my own. He has over 20 years of experience, so he knows exactly what to do for you. If you or a loved one have been injured, please call my dad at 1-800-669-HURT. That's 1-800-669-HURT. I know he will help you, just as he's helped thousands of other victims rebuild their lives. Hopefully one day I will be able to touch people's lives as my father and his staff have. So call Buttafuoco & Associates at 1-800-669-HURT and let them fight for you. 1-800-669-HURT. We help accident victims rebuild their lives.
WNYG, the spirit of New York.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, and if you just tuned us in, our guest today is Karen Presley, a convert from the Church of Scientology to Biblical Christianity and founder of Wings of Love Ministries, and she's going to be giving her personal testimony today, which she has documented in her book, Escaping Scientology, An Insider's True Story. Before I introduce Karen to the program, I want to remind you that tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m., that's Wednesday, July 23rd, 7:30 p.m., Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island, located in Merrick, New York, is very excited to announce that we are having as a guest preacher Pastor Conrad Mbewe of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa. And as I said before, he is probably my favorite preacher alive on the planet Earth. And many people share that opinion with me. I want to give you a little taste to whet your appetite of the preaching of Pastor Conrad Mbewe.
God has provided a Savior in the person of His Son, Jesus of Nazareth. This Jesus who walked among us, who taught so many wonderful things with respect to God, who did so many astounding miracles, is indeed God Himself, the second person of the Blessed Holy Trinity. He who has all power, who can do all things. He who sustains you, He who feeds you, He who indeed must ultimately be the final judge. He has come and He has the power to change your wicked heart, to remove from you your heart of stone and give to you a heart of flesh, to put within you His Spirit, who by His almighty power can enable you to begin to live an upright and godly life in this same present wicked age. This Jesus was finally sent to the cross in order to bear upon Himself the wrath of God in our place. He bore our sins, as the Bible puts it, upon His body on the tree. Because God is just, He could not simply wink at sin and allow us to get into heaven. Someone had to be punished in our place. And God did that in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I hope that whet your appetite to attend tomorrow night. Admission is absolutely free. A love offering will be taken. That's Pastor Conrad Mbewe, preaching at Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Merrick, Long Island, New York, tomorrow night, 7:30. And for directions and other details, the number is 516-379-2408. 516-379-2408. The website is gracereformedbaptistchurch.com. That's Grace Reformed, R-E-F-O-R-M-E-D, baptistchurch.com. And also, want to briefly announce, and I'll be expanding upon this after today's program in the days to come, but Judy Rogers, a wonderful Christian recording artist, very talented, very biblically sound in her lyrics. Judy Rogers is going to be performing at a free concert at Grace Reformed Baptist Church as well on Saturday, August 2nd. And I'll be giving you more details about that as well. But you could call 516-379-2408 for more information about the concert, in addition to tomorrow's speaking engagement with Conrad Mbewe. As I was mentioning earlier, our guest today is Karen Presley, founder of Wings of Love Ministries, and she is a former member of the Church of Scientology, who, by the grace of God, is now a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And it's such an honor and privilege to have you back for the second time on this program, Karen Presley.
Chris, thank you so much. It's great to be back with you again.
Yeah, I'm very excited about today's interview. I think this is a very important discussion we're having, because very rarely on a religious program, especially, or evangelical Christian program to be specific, do you hear a full explanation of Scientology, and the talk about it on the secular media or in the secular media is not really delving into any theological aspects. It's mainly just touting the fact that many celebrities are flocking to this cult, as we, as born-again evangelical Christians, would consider it a cult. And just to give our listeners some of the those who have flocked to this group, Tom Cruise, I'm sure if you live on the planet Earth, you know Tom Cruise, is a significant member of this cult. Katie Holmes, John Travolta, Kelly Preston, Ann Archer, Catherine Bell, Erica Christensen, Jenna Elfman, Juliette Lewis. Danny Masterson, Leia Remini, who was on the King of Queens comedy program, soul legend Isaac Hayes, rock legend Edgar Winter, and Academy Award-nominated composer and trumpeter Mark Isham. And I just also recently found out that Will Smith has funded some Scientology school, correct?
That's true.
Is he actually a member of the
I don't know that he's gone public with or has made a decision of full membership, but I know that he's gotten involved in some somewhat humanitarian-based programs. That's the extent that I know of his involvement.
Now, before we get into a theological dissection of this group, the Church of Scientology, I want you to explain to our listeners what Wings of Love Ministries is.
Well, I founded Wings of Love Ministries shortly after I got out of Scientology and after I became a Christian. My ministry really started because after I left Scientology, I miraculously, despite incredible obstacles and barriers, I actually found God, and then I found faith through Jesus Christ. So not many Scientologists have made that journey. So once I became a Christian and began to tell my story about what happened to me, a lot of pastors of churches became really interested in kind of broadcasting this story about how God can reach into any life and touch your life and change your life, which basically opened up doors for me to start speaking in churches, and that really began Wings of Love Ministries. God opened up opportunities for me to tell Christians about my story, how I'd been entrapped in a cult. So Wings of Love Ministries has developed into a community reach out where I actually help individuals who contact me who are dealing with the effects of Scientology in their life, like their son or daughter or their spouse or a friend is involved and they don't know how to deal with it. I also have a speaking ministry, like I said, and then I also do writing and recording of articles and speaking engagements that I use to give to people for learning opportunities. So it's a multifaceted ministry.
Yeah, and we'll be repeating information toward the end of the program on how our listeners can get in contact with you and perhaps even invite you to speak at their church or women's retreat or something to that nature about the cults and about Scientology and your testimony. And your testimony is what we'll probably be spending the bulk of our program discussing today, but obviously it would be wise for us to start off with a theological explanation and a historical sketch of how this cult began and what it teaches. The L. Ron Hubbard, who was a science fiction writer, I understand, is the founder of this cult.
He is. He founded it in 1950.
Yes, and what is his background?
Well, like you said, he is a science fiction writer. He was a pulp fiction writer, actually a very successful one in the 40s. And he wrote some screen treatments and things like that. But he's quoted by Reader's Digest in a publication that the Church of Scientology would like to erase from planet Earth, which where he said, you know, one way to make $1 million is to found a new religion, and he made that statement at a science fiction conference back in the 40s, and Reader's Digest picked up that quote and uses it a lot because it positions him as somebody who was a science fiction writer who did found a religion. In 1950, he wrote the book Dianetics, which is the modern science of mental health, which is the precursor to Scientology. The two are not the same, although they're definitely connected. But that is what catapulted Scientology's name, because Dianetics was very successful in the 1950s. And he started Scientology around 1952-1953. So that's really how it began.
And was Dianetics really a response of his to the world of psychology and psychiatry?
Well, that's a good way to put it, Chris. He wrote his premise for Dianetics as the modern science of mental health with the thesis that this was the one and only self-help therapy that could help an individual deal with his own mind. And he contrasted and compared it to psychiatry and psychology, which he claimed was absolutely useless and flawed and has actually damaged mankind more than helped it. So his whole objective with creating Dianetics with this theory was to really take the place in the country and in the world as the world's solution to mental health therapy. He wants Dianetics and Scientology to replace psychology and psychiatry.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think one of the lures to evangelicals to this cult is that many evangelicals share a disdain for modern psychology and psychiatry, but L. Ron Hubbard and his church, or should I say in his cult, their criticisms are not coming from a sound biblical perspective, are they?
Well, you know, interesting you say that, because in Dianetics, Hubbard does mention that people need to have a belief in God, in the Supreme Being, although he does not define God and does not define the Supreme Being in Dianetics. But he says that people who rise to greater heights do have a belief in God. But when he develops Scientology, he begins to unfold the beginnings of the theology, so to speak, of Scientology, which is that the process of Scientology is all about discovering yourself, your divine-like qualities, your ability to remember all the knowledge and all the power that you had, that you possessed, since before the beginning of time. And one of his earliest writings, which was written around 1951, called The Factors, is a body of information that Scientology claims to be, you know, to comprise doctrine and quote-unquote theology about Scientology. But what that teaches, in a nutshell, in a real brief summary, is that he teaches that all individuals are spiritual beings who existed since before the beginning of time, who possess all the knowledge and all the power that we needed in order to create the universe. And The Factors is his writing, where he positions us with having God abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So this immediately conflicts and contrasts with, you know, the creation story that we know to be true in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. So right there, at the very beginning, you have an absolute problem and a clashing and a contrast in theology and doctrine between Scientology and Christianity, which is the point that I bring up all the time when Tom Cruise is on NBC Dateline and other talk shows and says, oh, you can be a Christian and a Scientologist at the same time. And when I do interviews, I say that that's impossible, and here's why. Starting out with the very first basic piece of theology, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. What does L. Ron Hubbard, or which I should say, what did L. Ron Hubbard, and what does his church teach about Jesus Christ himself?
Well, in the very real basic early beginning materials that they allow you to read, that they give you to read, there's a book called What is Scientology, which is for general public, and they have a picture of a man on a cross, which they talk about as Jesus Christ, but they say that this is a man who lived a moral life, who lived as a model, and that his death signifies the ability to live again. And they position him as a New Age character. As you move through the confidential levels and the more advanced teachings of Scientology, you read other things about Jesus Christ, what Hubbard says about Jesus Christ, and it's, I never repeat that information on radio or television because it's really heinous. Mm. But I will say that they make claims that things along the lines of Jesus was a figment of our imagination and an implant in our brains along the whole track, and that there was no such person, and that's the light matter of what they say about him. It gets worse. But that has a lot to do with why a Scientologist who comes out of Scientology would have a really difficult time approaching the even possibility of, you know, wanting to come to know Jesus Christ, because, you know, during their whole education in Scientology, they've been reading absolutely false things about him, which they thought were true, but very negative things about him, and so you would be, think of yourself as a fool, as someone who would want to pursue faith in Jesus Christ after coming out of Scientology. But, you know, we, like in my personal story, which I'll be sharing with you, God takes care of that. He's the one that will touch you to expose the truth, and I'll be glad to share what happens to me as we talk about all this.
Sure. We have to go to a break right now. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question for Karen Presley, regarding her previous involvement in the Church of Scientology, regarding the teachings and practices of this cult, regarding her newfound faith in Jesus Christ. We would love to hear from you, and if it makes you feel more comfortable, you may remain anonymous. Perhaps there is a Scientologist who somehow found out about this by the grace of God, this interview, and is listening, and perhaps is beginning to doubt this so-called religion that he has embraced. Well, you could call in anonymously if you'd like. 631-321-WNYG is the number. 631-321-WNYG. I even welcome calls from Scientologists who affirm that religion and are proud to be members of it. If you have any disagreements with Karen Presley, you may call in as well. 631-321-WNYG, 631-321-WNYG. We'll be right back with former Scientologist Karen Presley. Today, the reliability of the Bible is constantly being denied by those touted in the media as the most brilliant and learned scholars during heavily publicized documentaries and broadcasts which attract audiences of millions. Rarely, if ever, is equal time or anything close to it given to a biblically sound Christian scholar of the caliber of Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Dr. White is a professor having taught Greek, systematic theology, and various topics in the field of apologetics. He has authored more than 20 books, including The King James Only Controversy, The Forgotten Trinity, The Potter's Freedom, and The God Who Justifies. He is an accomplished debater, having engaged in more than 60 moderated public debates with leading proponents of Roman Catholicism, liberal Protestantism, Islam, Oneness Pentecostalism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Mormonism. For information on any of Dr. White's upcoming debates and speaking engagements, to hear MP3s of past debates, and to order any of Dr. White's books, visit www.aomin.org. That's aomin.org. This promotion is sponsored by Dantona Industries in Wantagh, Long Island. For all your battery needs, call 1-800-DANTONA.
Construction sites are dangerous places. Construction is going on everywhere in New York. Many construction workers, electricians, and other trades are seriously injured from falls at construction sites. This is Dan Buttafuoco, your personal injury lawyer. What happens when a construction worker falls off a ladder or a scaffold and is seriously hurt or even killed? How does the family pay bills? This is serious. Fortunately, there are laws designed to protect all the trades from accidents at construction sites. These safety laws are known as the labor law, and they provide full compensation for injured workers. If you or someone you know has been injured during any type of construction, please call Buttafuoco & Associates at 1-800-669-HURT. At Buttafuoco & Associates, our labor law cases are cited in court and printed in legal publications. Buttafuoco & Associates, 1-800-669-HURT. We'll come to you anywhere in New York State. Wherever there's construction, there are serious injuries. Serious injuries require serious representation. Call Buttafuoco & Associates, 1-800-669-HURT, for free advice. We help construction workers rebuild their lives.
WNYG, the spirit of New York.
Welcome back. If you've just tuned us in, we are interviewing today Karen Presley, a former member of the Church of Scientology, who, by the grace of God, abandoned that cult, fled from it, and has discovered the grace only known through the cross of Jesus Christ. And, Karen, before we go to your personal testimony, just a little bit more background about Scientology. What was L. Ron Hubbard's religious background before founding this cult?
You know, what I've read about him is that during my Scientology years is that he was raised by parents who didn't have a religion, but their family members, relatives, were, I believe, Methodist or some denomination of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
But he was not raised in church. His father was actually in the military, in the Navy, and traveled a lot. So he really didn't have... His records, or the information I've read, doesn't show that he was brought up in church or had a lot of church exposure. It does talk about how he grew up around American Indians and was interested in different types of spiritual practices.
And in this this so-called religion, or it is a religion, but of... not from God and not from heaven, certainly, but in this this cult... do they have an understanding of the concept of sin, and what is the remedy in their minds to this?
Actually, in Scientology nomenclature, the word sin is not included. They use the word overt, O-V-E-R-T. sometimes you'll see a reference to transgression, but in Scientology terms, it's called an overt. As a matter of fact, Hubbard, there is one piece of writing I can think of that he talks about that it is really cruel to tell people that that they're sinners and that they inherited a sinful nature. And Scientology goes the opposite direction and says that man is basically good, and that there is no inheritance like that. They do talk about the fact that when a person commits an overt, is the word that I'm using, they explain it to be a transgression against one or more of an individual's personal dynamics of life. And what that means is, like, they compartment your life according to your marriage, your family, your group relationships, your relationship with the planet, mankind, and the spiritual nature of man. And so they talk about a transgression against one of those dynamics. And what is absolutely missing from this is anything to do with God, like a relationship with God and transgressing against God's will. That concept is not included in the Scientology beliefs.
And the what sort of afterlife, if any, do they believe in?
Well, Scientology is all about afterlife. They don't use the word reincarnation. They talk about past lives and future lives. And the whole premise of Scientology training, in Scientology courses and counseling, which they also call auditing, is about increasing your awareness levels and your ability to control yourself and to control your mind so that by the time you get to the end of your lifetime and you do what they call drop your body, they say that your body dies, but that your spirit continues to live, and that if you're in good shape as a Scientologist, you will be able to be in control of who you get to be next lifetime. You'll get to pick your own body, and you'll get to be who you want to be. If you're not in good shape as a Scientologist, you will be out of control, and you'll come back as whoever, and you'll be oblivious to your previous lifetimes. And that is why this is a major concept in Scientology, and that is why they push you up through the various spiritual levels, is so that you will progress to be in what they say, you know, is in high level of control over your past and your future lifetimes.
And didn't L. Ron Hubbard claim that he would not physically die, and yet he died at a relatively young age?
You know, he died in 1986, and I've never actually read that he would never physically die, because when his death was announced to the Scientology world in 1986, it was positioned that he dropped his body so that he could continue his research into the state of the spirit in a spiritual form, no longer encumbered by a physical body. But, you know, if you do your research and you read the coroner's report in Santa Barbara, California, you can read about how he died of psychotropic drug injections, and that his body was in terrible physical condition, and that he suffered from incredible physical ailments, including lung problems and numerous other things. So he was in really, really bad physical shape. But, of course, that was all concealed from Scientologists, because obviously that would be extremely disillusioning for people to know the truth on what poor health he was in.
Yes, that's oxymoronic to what his claims of Scientology are, as far as the benefits, especially for one in the highest level, as he claimed to be, correct?
Exactly, that's the whole point, and that's why the information was so concealed, which brings up a really, really important point about being a Scientologist. Scientologists basically live with filters on their computers and in the type of information that they choose to hear or listen to or see, and they dedicated Scientologists do not do research into Scientology and what the world exposes about Scientology. They only read what they're given to read by the Church of Scientology. So therefore, they are missing a huge amount of truth and documented facts and information, such as the horrible physical condition of L. Ron Hubbard. And that's a significant part of living as a Scientologist, is that you are simply living in a bubble, uninformed about what is really true about Scientology. That's what a lot of critics are now coming online to expose, you know, truth and facts about what actually happens in Scientology behind the scenes, the nightmarish living conditions of Scientology staff, the human rights violations that actually do happen between the Church of Scientology and people. And all of that is concealed by the Church of Scientology, and they don't want other people to read it, which is why staff members are prevented from logging on to the Internet.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us something about your background and what made you ripe to be plucked by them, if you will, to be lured into this cult along with your husband. And tell us about your background in Hollywood and so forth.
Well, in around 1980, my now ex-husband, Peter Schless, and I moved out to Hollywood to really advance our careers. Peter was a musician and a composer, and I was a fashion designer, so Los Angeles was the place for us. Peter's first gig in Hollywood was working with Cher's band Black Rose back in 1980, and this immediately led into life in the recording studios, life in the music business. We met a lot of Scientologists through that network, and that's when we began to take some Scientology classes and actually discover Scientology. And at the same time, we had also been doing social recreational drugs, coke, smoking pot, you know, various things. And we wanted to get cleaned up, and Scientology offered a purification program, like a drug rehab program. And Peter and I both did that program around 1981, I believe. And after that, we were just on a path that was like a human people mover. It was just a ride that didn't quit. And we went from one service to the next without really paying attention to the fact that we were getting, you know, allowing ourselves to be heavily indoctrinated into Scientology. And before we knew it, we pretty much abandoned our life, our families, our relatives, friends who were not involved in Scientology, because we were so into Scientology that that became our world, and to the exclusion of just about everyone and everything else. And in 1986, I began working for the Celebrity Center in Hollywood, and my first job was actually recruiting celebrities for Scientology. I became the executive director, and my then husband Peter also began to work for Scientology, and since he was a musician, they put him to work writing music, performing in the Golden Era Musicians band that performed for Scientology events around the world. And he would write music for Scientology commercials and training films. And I ended up designing clothing for the staff of Scientology around the world to help to improve the image of Scientology. So we put all of our talents and skills to work for Scientology. And long story short, we, from 1986 to then, I left in 1998. And when I left, Peter chose to remain there, and he's still there to this day.
Yes, and one of the reasons that they picked you and your husband to prey on celebrities, if you will, to lure them into the cult of Scientology, was that you were involved in Hollywood fashion design, and your husband being a musician, as you mentioned, you were involved in composing the hit On the Wings of Love, correct?
Well, we also, that's right, that was our biggest hit song in 1982. My role in that was I established a music publishing company for us and set up a corporation called Schless Music. We had a recording studio, and Peter and I published On the Wings of Love, which was a wonderful hit with Jeffrey Osborne in 1982. We had a couple of other hit songs, like the theme song from Rambo, First Blood Part 2. We had a song on All the Right Moves. We had a bunch of songs that were recorded by other recording artists. So we had a nice taste of the beginning of success as, I guess, Hollywood artists. And that had everything to do with why you know, we were recruited and put to use to recruit other celebrities for Scientology. We did it through our careers.
And I'm sure many, many married couples did and still do and will in the future dance on their wedding nights to On the Wings of Love.
Indeed. Our big thrill was when it was sang on American Idol about a year ago. That was nice for the royalties.
And we have to go to a break right now. If you have a question for Karen Presley about her journey from Scientology into the Christian faith, our number is 631-321-WNYG, 631-321-WNYG, and you may remain anonymous if it makes you feel more comfortable. We'll be right back with Karen Presley. The New American Standard Bible has been widely embraced as the most literally accurate English translation from the original languages. Millions of people, students, scholars, pastors, missionaries, and laypersons alike, trust the NASB, learning from it and applying it to the challenges of their everyday lives. Discover what the original text says word for word. The New American Standard Bible has been updated, increasing clarity and readability. Vocabulary, grammar, and sentence structure were carefully reviewed for greater understanding and smoother reading. In perfecting the updated NASB, more than 20 translators spent nearly 3 years scrutinizing the NASB in order to modernize it and maintain it in accordance with the most recent research on the oldest and best manuscripts. Thus, some passages have been updated for even greater fidelity to the original manuscripts. Trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. For more details on the most literal Bible translation that is now more readable, visit www.nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Christians in India risk torture, beatings, kidnappings, and death for believing in and preaching Jesus Christ. Pastor Mark, his wife, and members of his church thank God for his protection during a recent attack.
Pastor Mark visited an orphanage in Bangalore for a weekly prayer meeting. While the believers were praying, five Hindu extremists rushed into the orphanage and kidnapped the pastor. They stripped his clothes off and beat him severely. One of the attackers picked up a big stone to crush the pastor's head, but stopped when he saw a motorbike approaching. The attackers fled, leaving the pastor alive, but with internal injuries.
Reading the Voice of the Martyrs monthly newsletter allows you to stay up to date on the persecution of Christians around the world. Your own faith will be inspired as you see people like Pastor Mark who are willing to give all for Christ. Call 800-75-VOICE to request your free newsletter. That's 800-75-VOICE. Call 800-75-VOICE today. The Voice of the Martyrs is a Christian nonprofit organization.
WNYG, the spirit of New York.
Welcome back. Karen Presley, before becoming a Scientologist, what was your own religious background?
Well, I was raised as a Catholic, and when I was 11 years old, I told my mother that I felt that I couldn't find God there and questioned why we were doing the rituals we were doing in church. They were meaningless to me. So that was my departure from the one connection that I had to Christianity. And really, since the age of 11, I've been wandering and actually seeking until I found Scientology in the early 1980s.
And you obviously at some point began to realize that you were really trapped, imprisoned, literally, not just in a spiritual sense, but you were physically imprisoned in this cult, correct?
That's the way it was. And, you know, when I look back on that, I still have nightmares about some of the physical things that happened to me and to others. I sometimes think during the day, God, you know, was that really my life? I look back on that, and it's amazing to me. You know, ever since I arrived to the international management base out in the desert between L.A. and Palm Springs, that was actually the worst 9 years of my life. That is where I saw human rights violations. I saw people physically abused. I was never physically hit, but I saw our Scientology leader hit other people. Women were coerced into getting abortions who were working for the church because they thought that having a child was a distraction to production, and so they felt that it was really a lowly thing to leave church employment to go have a family. I saw lots of stuff like that. Some of the worst things for me were having my communication channels, my personal life, under such heavy control by church rules. We were not allowed to have a telephone in our rooms. We couldn't have a cell phone. If people ever called in to our base, our telephone calls were listened to on the extension by security guards. We were under 24/7 security watch. We were never allowed to leave without permission. We would work for several years with no days off. We worked 6.5 days a week for about 16 hours a day. And during all this time, we were making $45 a week.
Mm.
I escaped once in 1990 and once in 1993 and came back only because my husband was there and I wanted to keep our marriage together. But when I left finally in 1998, that was it. I had to lose everything that I had in order to get out of Scientology.
Now, tell us exactly what you mean by escaped and how you did it. I mean, did you actually have to sneak out, et cetera?
Well, like I said, we were under 24/7 security watch, and we were confined on the base behind a chain link fence and barbed wire that went around the entire property. And the day that I left was the one window of time in the entire 7-day work week where between 5 and 6 o'clock on Saturday, the security was lessened, and we all left the base as a group in buses to go to our rooms to change after doing renovations work on the ground during the day. So between 5 and 6, I knew there was less security, and that's when I actually made my break, and that's when I actually got off the base. I had $45 in my wallet, and I really had no destination, although I knew that I wanted to get to Atlanta to rejoin my mother and my family. And I had an amazing experience the night before, which I don't know how much time we have, but
yeah, go ahead.
That was actually the defining moment that enabled me to get out of Scientology. I had the most horrendous, nightmarish experience. We had a staff meeting, and I was hearing really, really horrible news about things that were happening to people, them being punished, sent to the rehabilitation camps. And I just knew I had to get out, and I just kind of went a little bit off the edge. I knew that I had to get out, that I felt really endangered, and I went back to my office, and I realized I had got to get out of there in order to regain my survival and to regain my sanity. And I knew that I had to escape, but I was so afraid to try again because I had done it before and failed. And but I had a really miraculous experience at that moment, and it was God actually revealed himself to me, and right out in the middle of the Scientology base out in the desert outside of Los Angeles. And God spoke to me, and I looked around to see if other people were hearing what I was hearing, and they weren't, but that was God's revelation to me. And the thing about that, Chris, is that I was not looking for God, and I didn't believe in God. I mean, I had been a Scientologist. When you're a Scientologist, you don't believe that there is a God like that, like the God who spoke to me. And that when God touches your life and when God reveals his presence to you, it is impossible not to know that that is him. Even if you're not a believer and you're not a seeker, when God reveals himself to you, it's unmistakable. And that's what happened to me that night. And I actually managed to escape the next day, like I said, during that 5 to 6 o'clock window. And God really laid out the details for me. I mean, the way that I actually got out of Los Angeles was amazing. I contacted someone else who had been a vendor in my working for Scientology, and he had told me that he believed in God, so I called him on the phone. And it's an amazing story, the details that he worked out for me in order to get me out of Los Angeles. But we had to drive across the desert out to Las Vegas to go to the airport because we knew that I couldn't make a reservation on a plane in Los Angeles because Scientology kept a travel computer that they could log in to find reservations at train, bus, and plane stations. So I couldn't make a reservation. So we drove across the desert. He put me on a plane. I flew to Atlanta. And that really was my escape. So I There's so much more to that story. It's incredible. But I've written a book about that story called Escaping Scientology, An Insider's True Story. And I tell the whole story in that book.
And were you threatened in any way physically if you did escape? What was the fear in your mind?
I wrote an article about this somewhere that's on my website called The Psychological Terrorism of Scientology. The fears were absolutely mental, psychological, sort of like indoctrination, that if you try to escape, if you try to get out of Scientology, you are a degraded being. You will never make it. You'll never succeed. So that's a major thought that is pretty much implanted. The sense of entrapment that you have is you feel like your entire existence is under Scientology control. You can wave your arms freely. You don't have handcuffs or, you know, slave chains on your legs or your arms, but you are absolutely spiritually and mentally entrapped. Mm-hmm. And so you think that you're confined, that your spiritual future is under the control of Scientology, but it's all a delusion. It's crazy. But that very entrapment is the spiritual bondage that I believe the Bible talks about, you know, when all throughout the New Testament about spiritual bondage. This is exactly it. And this is the kind of thing that keeps people trapped in Scientology.
And I have heard this is probably the most litigious organization on the planet. In what way do they threaten people who have left Scientology, who are outside of the cult, who speak out publicly against it?
You know, Chris, I could talk for days on that with the answer to that question, because there is so much of it. Some of it, I've included some of that on my website at www.karenpressley.com. And if you go to the links to resources page, I've included an extensive amount of reports, legal affidavits from people, people who have told their stories, who have gotten out of Scientology and what Scientology has done to them. In my particular case, I'll tell you a few specifics, and the rest is covered in my book, but one of the worst things that I endured was when I first left Scientology. Peter was prevented, my husband then, we were prevented from speaking to each other. And we had been married for 20 years. That was the reason I stayed in Scientology for as long as I did. And when I left, and he stayed, we were prevented from speaking to each other. And the church leaders, including David Miscavige, were involved in coercing Peter into divorcing me rather than allowing him and I to communicate, to work things out. And they arranged his disconnection from me, and then they arranged our divorce by mail. We never even, you know, had the courtesy to show up in court to address each other. That was the end of our 20-year relationship, was Scientology's controlling even our divorce. That was extremely traumatic for me. After that, lots of phone calls, bogus phone calls, people pretending to be somebody else when they were really just calling my house to harass me and find out, you know, what I was doing. But recently, some of the worst experiences I've had with the church are that the church's legal counsel contacted me and sent me a letter demanding that I cease and desist from speaking about Scientology in the media, because I have been interviewed by NBC Dateline and CNN and Los Angeles Times, and they didn't want me telling what I was telling. So what they did was they heard that I was trying to publish my stories, and they contacted my publisher in 2001 and a different publisher in 2005, and basically concocted a story about the fact that I had signed some sort of confidential bond and that I was in covenant to them for this confidentiality, and if I violated it, I would be culpable for a $500,000 fine, and so would my publisher. So they threatened the publisher with legal costs and, you know, legal threats. And both of the publishers chose not to publish the books because they didn't want to deal with the Church of Scientology. That's the essence of evil. It's just, it goes on and on. There's so much more to say about that, but like I said, a lot of that is on my website.
But your book, Escape from Scientology, is coming out in print, correct?
It is coming out. I was planning to get it out by August, but I'm in negotiation with a different publisher right now, and so it will definitely come out. It's just going to be delayed.
We have to go to a break right now. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question for Karen Presley, this is your final opportunity. Our number is 631-321-WNYG, 631-321-WNYG. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
A loved one, a friend, or someone you know at church going through a tough financial time because of an injury on the job? In need of wise counsel, bills piling up, seemingly nowhere to turn. What will you do? Where will you turn? You have a champion in Dan Bonifuco.
In my practice, we don't take money from our clients. We only work on a contingency fee, which means we don't get paid unless we win. No attorney should ever ask you for money for expenses, and yet I know that it's done in this business. We don't do it, but that's proof that we believe in the case.
Contact the law offices of Dan Bonifuco at 1-800-NOW-HURT. Employers have a battery of lawyers to protect their interests. Dan Bonifuco will fight for your interests and won't charge you a dime until they've won the damages you deserve. Start by calling the law offices of Dan Bonifuco at 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
Today, the reliability of the Bible is constantly being denied by those touted in the media as the most brilliant and learned scholars during heavily publicized documentaries and broadcasts which attract audiences of millions. Rarely, if ever, is equal time or anything close to it given to a biblically sound Christian scholar of the caliber of Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Dr. White is a professor having taught Greek, systematic theology, and various topics in the field of apologetics. He has authored more than 20 books, including The King James Only Controversy, The Forgotten Trinity, The Potter's Freedom, and The God Who Justifies. He is an accomplished debater, having engaged in more than 60 moderated public debates with leading proponents of Roman Catholicism, liberal Protestantism, Islam, Oneness Pentecostalism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Mormonism. For information on any of Dr. White's upcoming debates and speaking engagements, to hear MP3s of past debates, and to order any of Dr. White's books, visit www.aomin.org. That's aomin.org. This promotion is sponsored by Dantona Industries in Wantagh, Long Island. For all your battery needs, call 1-800-DANTONA.
WNYG, the spirit of New York.
Welcome back. We have a caller on the line, Tony in Holbrook, Long Island. If you could ask your question, Tony, and then listen to your answer off the radio or off the internet.
Okay, sure. Thank you, Chris. My question is to the young lady. Has this Scientology cult been investigated for doing unlawful things like you've explained to us over the airwaves today? And I'll hear it off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
He asked if Scientology has been investigated. Actually, there's been extensive investigations during different periods of time. Back in the 90s, there's pretty infamous two cases where a group of Scientology staff, including L. Ron Hubbard's wife, Mary Sue, broke into federal offices to steal files and documentation about themselves. And yes, they were caught, they were arrested, and several of them were put in prison. There's been investigations into Scientology in other countries, Belgium, France, Germany, Australia, and others. But there's some really excellent news coverage on that out on the internet, and some of those links are on my website at www.karenpresley.com on the links page. But yes, absolutely. And I heard that there is an investigation going on regarding Scientology's tax-exempt status right now.
Mm-hmm. And have there been links to unexplained deaths and suicides?
That's one of the darker sides of the dark side of Scientology, and the answer is yes. The whole case of Lisa McPherson is who died, one of the more famous cases, is very well documented on the internet. I just posted the chronological history of that case on my website at www.karenpressley.com. There's been many others. There is a website called out there called whyarethedead.com, and that website has done a good job collecting up news about different people that have been died, that have died during Scientology treatment.
And obviously some of our listeners may be curious as to the rumors about Tom Cruise being upheld as the messiah of Scientology. Is that true, or is that just nonsensical gossip?
I don't think it's nonsensical at all. Tom Cruise is absolutely idolized within the Church of Scientology, even by the Scientology leaders. You can see, I personally, when Andrew Morton's book came out called The Unauthorized Biography of Tom Cruise, he's the one that posed that thesis that Tom Cruise is the messiah or the second in command. And that book, I think, it's received a lot of criticism, but it's done a good job, I think, exposing that perspective about Tom Cruise.
Do you think it's a very accurate book?
I think, well, what I know is that the research that he collected about the actual factual things about Scientology, their base, handling of people, is factual. I contributed a lot of it to that. I was interviewed for that book. And a lot of people who worked for the Church of Scientology who are no longer with them contributed factual information. You know, there's a lot of conclusions that Morton came to based on his research, and you know, you have to treat that as an opinion because he is a biographer. But there is a tremendous amount of factual information in that book. I'm going to write a review of it to try to lay that out because I get asked that question all the time.
And what would you want most to be engraved in the hearts and minds of our listeners regarding your journey from Scientology to the saving faith in the one true Messiah, Jesus Christ?
That's a great question, Chris. I think the biggest adjustment made in my life was the fact that I came to realize that the Word of God in the Bible is truth, and that Jesus' name can break every stronghold. And you cannot be transformed without God's power. And God is in control of that. You don't have to worry about doing it on your own. That is the most significant thing of the change in my own personal life. I would also like people to know that Scientology is and has been very involved in human rights violations, and I think that we as Americans need to inform ourselves about what they are doing in America to its members and its former members in terms of human rights. And I do have several videos about that on my website about human rights violations. That's important to know so that other people don't get deceived about Scientology like I did.
In fact, they have groups that are connected with Scientology that go under names to disguise who they really are, correct?
Yeah, you're talking about like WISE, World Institute for Scientology Enterprises. You're talking about Narconon. You're talking about Applied Scholastics. And those are all quote-unquote public service organizations that are front groups for Scientology that are trying to permeate society with like helpful programs. But what they're really doing is really trying to spread Scientology.
Well, Karen Pressley, it was great to have you back on Iron Sharpens Iron. I look forward to having you back. I want to repeat Karen's website. It's KarenPressley.com, and that's Presley with two S's, KarenPressley.com. We look forward to having you back, Karen.
Chris, thank you so much. I'd love to come back again.
I would love to have you back. And I want to also remind our listeners about my prayer requests. Eleanor Payne, the wife of our announcer at the beginning of Iron Sharpens Iron, Gray Payne, Eleanor Payne has pancreatic cancer. Please pray for healing for her. Pray for the continued recovery of Pastor Ron Glass of Wading River Baptist Church. He just had quadruple bypass surgery. And also Tom Askell of Grace Baptist Church, Cape Coral, Florida, who we've interviewed on several occasions here on Iron Sharpens Iron. He was struck by lightning during a severe thunderstorm down there in Cape Coral. When he was opening the door of his car, the car was struck by lightning, and Tom was electrocuted. Pray for his rapid recovery as well. I want all of you to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. God bless.
Preceding program brought to you in part by Dan Buttafuoco and Associates, Attorneys at Law.